As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
I'm here, so.
I'm Shea Gibbs-Alexander and I'm down to dunk.
Howdy, Oklahoma.
My name is Chet Holmgren and I'm down to dunk.
Dead gum.
I'm Josh Giddey and I'm down to dunk.
This is Lou Dort,
and I'm down to dunk.
Is that like you eat it together?
Everybody tells him to get the bag of burgers.
I need like a straw. Like.
Howdy.
I'm an artist on the court.
This is Jay Will, and I'm down to dunk.
My name is Kenrich Williams, and I'm down to dunk.
It might be Aaron Wiggins.
This is a troll. It's a troll. I'm trolling.
Howdy, Papa.
I think it would take away from who he is, you know?
Yeah.
I love Oklahoma. I love Oklahoma to death.
This is Lou Dort, and I'm down to Dort.
Perfect. Good. Very good.
I like the hat.
You like the hat?
Vava?
This is J-Dub, and I'm down to dunk. I've been doing a lot of dunking.
Welcome to Down to Dunk. I'm your host, Andrew Schleck, for part of the Athletic Podcast Network. I'm going to answer some Twitter questions from you guys today ahead of Game 2. Just a programming note, Alex Spears and I will go live after the game tonight. I'll be at the arena and following post-game and all of that, we'll go live. So join us after the game for your regularly scheduled podcast. And before we get to the questions, we're having a watch party at Lively Beer Works on Saturday, 2:30. There will be some beer specials. There will be food. It's an all-ages event. We're all going to watch Game 3 together. So join us on Saturday, downtown OKC at Lively for a good time. We will do a post-game podcast. Still trying to figure out the execution of that, but would love for you guys to join us on Saturday for a watch party. I mean, you don't want to just sit at home and watch that just by yourself or just with a couple friends. You want to be with all your dunkers on Saturday. So join us Saturday at Lively. Okay, full disclosure, I have a meeting in 35 minutes. So let's get through as many of these questions as possible. If you have questions in the chat, put them up in the chat as well. We'd love to hear from you there as well. And if you are listening live on YouTube, go ahead and give this video a like right now. Would very much appreciate that. Okay, let's answer as many questions as we can. This one is from at Alex_BullerJack. What's your preferred distribution for tonight? I think what you mean is minutes distribution for the players. I mean, what is my preferred is probably different than what will happen. I honestly just probably wouldn't play Hayward and then leave the rest of those guys in. I would also like to see some Jay Will and Chet minutes together at the big spot. I think that could be something that could be helpful, especially with the way that Jay Will played the other night. I think Jay Will was one of the more underrated guys. He didn't play very many minutes. I think he played 7 minutes in that game, but he was very productive. He's hitting his threes and he's making plays. And I just think that guy defensively, too, was really good on Valanciunas. I think that's somebody they could go to a little bit more. And so, to me, that is something that I would do for sure. I don't really have many issues. I also will have probably more questions about Josh, but I want to see kind of how Josh is playing in this game. Josh didn't have a great game one, offensively or defensively. And so you wonder, is this a series for Josh? Is this one that he can thrive in? I think it's a question that still needs to be answered. And we will get to those questions. But when talking about Valanciunas on the floor, if he doesn't play more than 50 minutes, I think Alex is probably right that the depth of this team, with the depth of this team without Zion, they just kind of need JV. And so if you're the Thunder, you have to use that to your advantage. And if they feel like they have to play Valanciunas a lot, you need to dominate those minutes. You need to spread the floor. You need to get Valanciunas out of the paint. And you need to be able to either get to the hoop or you need to be able to take a lot of threes. And I think playing Valanciunas should allow both of those things to happen. At Gray F. Thomas, should OKC give New Orleans the UConn Zach Edey treatment to Valanciunas and protect the three-point line more? Basically, let JV post up, take his sweet time, begging him to beat OKC with an outrageous performance. I don't hate this idea at all. I think it might be a good strategy in that Valanciunas, he's a decent passer, but if Chet really held his own on Valanciunas and also did against Sabonis when they played the Kings recently, and so I don't hate the idea of allowing JV to think that posting up is the right thing. You can still kind of dig down on him if you need to in spots, but giving up 15 corner threes, and the Thunder are really, really lucky that they missed 14 of them. The Thunder, this is just kind of a Thunder thing, is that they give up more corner threes than any other team in the NBA. And so you have to give up something, and the Thunder are willing to pack the paint. It really paid off because they were not, the Pelicans were not good in the paint against the Thunder. But I do think that I would like to encourage the Pelicans to try to post up Valanciunas multiple times. I don't know that they'll do it still. They really don't do that. And I've talked to people with the Pelicans and specifically Antonio Daniels about it and how they just don't really go to him like that. And so even if you bait them into it, I don't know if they'll necessarily do it. But I think it's an interesting idea. At B Reynolds 200, do you agree that OKC should run floppy and DHOs for SGA more in order to get him space off the catch and remove the wall? That's an interesting question. I like the idea of a DHO, especially getting Chet more involved, or even like running a dribble handoff with Jalen Williams, J-Dub. I guess you could do it with either one, honestly. But I don't hate that idea. I don't know that they're just going to run floppy for SGA to get him loose like that. I also just don't know that that's necessarily the position they want SGA to be in. I will be interested to see what the adjustments are to get SGA better shots. I also think that Shea should be able to adjust as he goes throughout the series. He got blocked just too many times in that first game. It was kind of strange, honestly, seeing him, and it wasn't just Herb, you know, he was blocked multiple times in that game. So I'm intrigued to see how they get him loose. But to me, honestly, one of the bellwethers in this game is going to be like, how many threes can they get Chet? Can they get Chet 10 threes? That's a number that I would be looking at. And then if you do that, I think it starts to open things up a little bit more. Also, I think role players have got to hit more shots as well. And so we'll see what happens. But SGA is a superstar. He's got counters on counters. And I think that he is going to get things figured out. And I don't know that they're going to necessarily deviate from what they do offensively to make that happen. But I do like the dribble handoff idea. Miguel Davila asks, how much of an impact would Zion have if he returns to the series? I mean, it just depends. If he's healthy, a massive impact. I mean, he would be the second best player in the series with the potential to play like the best player in the series. So a massive impact, which is why like these games without him are really important. Like, you need to take care of business. The Thunder need to send a message tonight to the Pelicans and need to beat them like a drum. I would not anticipate Zion coming back. Zion has not been a quick healer. He's not been somebody that comes back quickly from injuries. He's being reevaluated in 2 weeks. It doesn't mean like he is coming back in 2 weeks. There's not really been a situation with Zion yet in his career where there have been reevaluation periods that he has come back early from. This has also not happened in the playoffs where he's had an opportunity. But it would be big. Like, let's not underestimate that. It would be big. At Trav is funny. Trav_is_funny. Do you think the team will play their style of ball better today and close with more of a lead than in game one? I think they will. I mean, the Thunder did not play well offensively at all. Neither did the Pelicans. But defensively, I thought the Thunder were great, as were the Pelicans. I think the Thunder had a lot of open shots that they normally make. And role players typically play better at home. And so I think that they'll be better than they were. It was really just the Thunder's big three. And then you had like a little bit from Cason Wallace. You know, the one big three from Isaiah Joe. I think they'll get more than that tonight. At James Engel, 29. What is the one thing OKC cannot do or let happen tonight? The one thing they cannot, I mean, let the Pelicans win. Don't let them do that. Let's see. But within like strategy, what can they not do? What can they not let happen tonight? I think they just can't let Trey Murphy get 15 threes or 13 threes or whatever it was from game one. That to me was like, that was the thing that changed things. He got 12 threes. You can't allow Trey Murphy to get loose for 12 threes. You got to track Trey a lot better than that. You can let Herb take 8. That's okay. B.I. only took 2. You can let Alvarado take 4. You can let Najee Marshall take 4. You cannot let Trey Murphy take 12. That's the thing. Don't let him get to that many. And on the other side, let Chet get to that many. Get Isaiah Joe more looks. The Thunder, those are the things. At OKC Obstinacy, will Shea see any tougher defender on him than Herb Jones these playoffs? What current West playoff teams do you expect to drop out next season, assuming teams like the Grizzlies or Rockets take their spot? Will he see a tougher defender? Probably not. I mean, Herb is, in the player poll, I thought this was interesting. That was on The Athletic, which you should go check out. It's a really, really cool project. But Herb Jones and Lou Dort were two of the top three defenders in the NBA, according to the players. And Herb is spectacular. He's so good. And he's got the length. He can guard really anybody in the NBA. So I don't think he'll face a tougher defender. I mean, if the Thunder somehow match up with the Timberwolves at some point, Jaden McDaniels is really good. He's not better than Herb Jones, though. On the Mavs, I mean, there's not really a defender the quality of Herb. I'd say Derek Jones Jr. is good. Like, he's a really good defender. Dante Exum is a good defender. Dante's really not even playing that much for the Mavs. I think this is, and I said this on the Dream Team show yesterday, I think this is a really, really good test for the Thunder. It's like a perfect test for them to kind of get them playoff ready. Now, you got to go win the games, and you got to learn the lessons, but it's a really good test for them. As far as teams that will drop out next year, I mean, it's pretty easy to predict that, like, I mean, what are the Warriors going to do next year? Obviously, they didn't even make the playoffs. But if I were a Warriors fan, I would be nervous, certainly, about what next year looks like. If we're talking about teams that are in the playoffs dropping out, is it a guarantee that the Lakers are this healthy all of next season? Like, what happens to Phoenix this summer, I think, is a question. I think Sacramento is probably a bit more solid than we think of them as being, but still, like, they're going to be on the fringes. The West is tough this year. Boy, look out next year. It's going to be crazy. And there's going to be big injuries that shape the league. Those always happen. You know, Clippers. I mean, who knows? You just don't know. But I don't know. I mean, it's going to be tough for the Rockets, too, to actually get in there. It's one thing to be an up-and-coming team. What the Thunder did to go from 40 to 57 is way uncommon. Just doesn't really happen. At I am KevKevBot, if you could only keep Joe or Wiggins this summer, who are you choosing and why? Isaiah Joe, because his three-point shooting is outrageously important to this team, and he's become a better defender. And you need lights-out shooters that take a lot of threes, or have the ability to take a lot of threes. Wiggins is really good. He's solid across the board. Great, really, really nice role player. But I think Joe is more valuable. At Audible_Cake, I'm excited to see Mark continue through his first playoff series as far as making adjustments. Do we think the deep rotations will continue if guys on the bench continue struggling to find their shot? Or do we think they'll narrow the rotation to give guys more opportunity? I suspect that they will continue to try the deep rotations. I don't think that they'll deviate from that just because of one or two games. I think they have a lot of trust in a lot of these guys. At Narrow Expanded, Kenrich shot 50% from the free throw line this year, 51.9% career. You guys put him in your 8 or 9 man playoff rotation without discussing the very distinct probability that the further this team goes in the playoffs, the more likely opponents single him out in late game situations. Are you concerned? I mean, Kenrich has done a crazy, strange job of staying off the free throw line. I don't know. He also made his last few free throws. So I don't know, man. It is a weird quirk that does exist and that you shouldn't ignore. But also, just because he's a part of the 8 or 9 man rotation doesn't mean he's going to be on the floor in the last 5 minutes of the game. And if he's not in the rotation the last 5 minutes of the game, that's when those free throws become outrageously important. So I've never seen anybody hack Kenrich. I don't know if that's like on the radar of these other teams. I'm sure it is, but it's certainly a concern that exists, but that we probably shouldn't overemphasize just because, I mean, I haven't seen it even come close to biting the Thunder at this point, but we'll see. We'll see. I think it is something to keep in mind, though. I think it is a good observation. At AJ321W, does our Utah top 10 protected pick for 2024 go to 2025 unprotected pick if Utah falls in the top 10 this year? Also, if it falls to 11, would we have two picks this year instead of one with the Houston pick? Yeah, if it falls to 11, it'll be the Thunder's pick. It's extremely unlikely. And then I believe that it's top 10, top 10, top 8 is the way that it goes for OKC. So it's likely to convey. I think the Jazz want to be good when it conveys. That's another team in the West that's going to try to climb into the playoffs. So I would say that Utah could not stomach handing over the 11th pick or the 12th pick to the Thunder this year, and that's kind of part of why they tanked. And we'll see what they are next year. I suspect they won't be able to get where they want to go next year, but are they able to tank to the bottom again? I don't know. It gets harder as you get more mediocre. And this is why I don't really understand the strategy from the Jazz, because picking at 9th or 8th in consecutive years is, I mean, it's typically not very fruitful. That's not where your stars are. It's really, really tough. And especially in this draft, it's going to be tough to draft somebody that's going to be super impactful. But those guys can take up rotation minutes. They can often be guys that help you a little bit, but not enough to get you where you want to go. So like the Jazz are in this like weird middle zone where like, how do you become a contender? And also draft at ninth. They have a lot of tradable assets. That's great. Maybe they're going to become a good team via trade, but they've put themselves in a tough spot where you saw the Thunder, we talked about it, pulling levers to get to where they wanted to go. And you get a guy like Chet. You got lucky and got a guy like Jalen Williams at 12, but that's uncommon. You got to pick at the top of the draft if you really want to get out of the middle. And if I'm a Jazz fan, I'm a little bit afraid of getting stuck in the middle, especially in this Western Conference, which could just mean like the play-in, like perpetually in the play-in. I mean, they're in a tough spot. They need either just sharp improvement from like a guy like Keontae George, who had a nice rookie season but didn't show to me signs of like superstardom, or you need to make like a big trade. So I don't know. But yeah, something to keep an eye on. I mean, the Thunder have, that's the thing, is like not only is the Thunder team really good, but they have like all these draft picks that are, there's going to be some meaningful ones in there that are either going to be traded or they're going to pick guys that become a part of the rotation. Like we see Cason Wallace is obviously the guy who played the most minutes off the bench in that game. I mean, he's a big part of what the Thunder are going to do. So I think it's good to kind of keep our eye on those kind of things as we go along. At Yang Jian, with lots of N's at the end. Sorry if I've mispronounced that. It's their first playoff since 2020. Some of the players are not even in the league, weren't even in the league back then. True. A lot of them weren't. I think 7 of the 11 guys that were in the rotation, this is Nick Gallo said this post-game, 7 of the 11 players that played the other night hadn't played in the playoffs. So it's a very young team. Do the players bring back memories to the NCAA championship where they know everyone is watching and you have the very nervous feelings? I think so. I think you have to draw from whatever experiences you have. But I will say this, there's nothing like what happened on Sunday out there, even in the NCAA. I don't think there's anything like what was happening in OKC on Monday or on Sunday night, sorry. So I think like they're going to have to now draw from the experience of Sunday and continue to build on that experience of what it's like to actually play playoff basketball, because there's just nothing like it in the NBA. At just OK Sports, how important is it for OKC to sweep this series to avoid a Zion return? We kind of talked about that earlier. I would still be very surprised if Zion did return, even if this did go like 6. But I'd say it's important. Yeah, you don't want to mess around. You really don't want to mess around. At Coach Treadway, what are the chances we make a move to get Cody Williams in this year's draft? I don't, honestly, I just have no idea as far as like what actually would the Thunder want to do in the draft. It's always a mystery. Cody is a 6'8 wing. Sounds good. He had a up and down season for Colorado. He dealt with a lot of injuries too. And so you kind of have to take some of his stats with a grain of salt because he's truly struggled with injuries down the stretch of the season. Would it be bad to have J-Dub's kid brother on the team? I don't think so. Is he necessarily going to be as good as J-Dub? I mean, that's a high bar to clear, but it would be pretty cool to have the brothers on the team. And heck, he might be available at 12. It's very possible. And if you're the Thunder, you certainly have the assets to be able to move up. You could take some money off the Atlanta Hawks and move up to 10. Kind of do what they did last year where they moved from 12 to 10 and just take on some money. Like you could do that. You could deal future picks to get there. I don't know what the appetite is for that. Yeah, I don't know. Would it be nice to have a 6'8 wing that could kind of do it all? Yeah, it would be. He's totally theoretical at this point. He's got a lot of work to do to get to where he wants to go, but he's a high upside swing, and I think that it's something worthwhile. JT Bryan in the chat, thoughts on KD shoe commercial with Chet in OKC? Seems like seeds are being planted. Yeah, I mean, if you're Kevin and you're going through this series, you kind of, I mean, this is the canary in the coal mine for the Suns. They don't have tradable assets. They don't have ways to get better. They've traded everything to create this team that is probably going out in round one.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
When you're hiring for your small business, you want to find quality professionals that are right for the role. That's why you have to check out LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn Jobs has the tools to help you find the right professionals for your team faster and for free. When it's time for me to find a job, I went right to LinkedIn Jobs. They helped me find the right employer, and it was, man, very, very easy process. LinkedIn isn't just a job board. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else. Even those who aren't actively searching for a new job might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. On LinkedIn, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Hire professionals like a professional on LinkedIn. LinkedIn knows that small businesses are wearing so many hats and might not have the time or resources to hire. LinkedIn is constantly finding ways to make the process easier. They even just launched a feature that helps you write job descriptions, making the process even easier and quicker. 2.5 million small businesses use LinkedIn for hiring. Post your job for free at linkedin.com/dunk. That's linkedin.com/dunk to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply. Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions.
I mean, we've seen Kevin look elsewhere when things didn't look good. And obviously, you'd look at this OKC situation, and like, if you're Kevin, there's a lot of reasons why you should want to come here. One, you could kind of heal the NBA wounds that happened years ago. You can have a place to call home for your NBA career. and you can be on a contender, a true contender. If I'm OKC, I would say call us whenever your contract's up and we'll talk about a mid-level. Or, man, we really don't need you to do this. We don't really need you to do this. They can do this without Kevin. Now, would it tie a nice little bow on the end of Kevin's career? Absolutely, it would. Absolutely, it would. Is he going to ask for it? I would almost promise you he will. Now it comes down to, is that what the Thunder want? And I don't know the answer to that question. So there's probably still some hurt feelings in Oklahoma City over what happened. And there's probably, you know, the Thunder organization is a very intelligent organization that probably would like to do this on their own as well. So I don't know the answer to any of that. It's all pure speculation. There are little birdies chirping around Kevin and people that he wouldn't mind coming back here, but you know, we'll see. We'll see what happens. I did want to address, before we move on with questions, the challenge that was called. This was such a strange challenge. So it was a jump ball. Honestly, I didn't like the challenge. I didn't like the idea of Mark challenging this call because it looked like Chet got his fingers in there and poked the ball away. I didn't like it. I thought you just might as well just go ahead and do the jump ball. It's like 50-50, you'll get it. And the reason that Mark challenged it is this, that in Utah, on January 18th, there was a exact same situation. They called for a jump ball after a ball was knocked out of bounds. They didn't know who knocked it out of bounds. They determined after he challenged it that it, actually Oklahoma City touched it last. And then they gave the Thunder their timeout back and an extra challenge because it changed the call. Not because it should have been Thunderball, because it changed the call, which is apparently not the rule, but that's what they did. After that happened on January 18th, there was no follow-up from the league about that was the wrong way to handle that. So if you're Mark Degnault and the Oklahoma City Thunder, you believe that that is the rule, because that is how it happened in the game, is that they challenged the call, it was overturned, but given to the Jazz, but you got to keep, you basically won the challenge because you flipped what happened on the court with the call. They didn't do a jump ball. Mark challenged that call because he believed he was going to keep a challenge anyway, and that he thought there was a chance that it didn't go out on Chet. And he thought, well, I'm not going to be penalized for it. I might as well just do it. And then the league flips the rule back to what they say is the actual rule. But the issue with that is they had previously done it the opposite way and didn't correct it. So it is like a changing of the rules, and it happened in the playoffs. And had the Thunder lost the game and it came down to the final moments of the game and the Thunder needed a timeout and didn't have a timeout because of this, that's a disaster. That's something the league shouldn't want on themselves. This is a really bad look for the NBA itself. It was really, really bad. It ended up working out fine because it didn't end up altering the end of the game. But I said in my tweet that it was they're basically changing the rules, and they basically did change the rule because they, and I know people are saying, well, it was misapplied. Yeah, it's misapplied, and then no one was told that it was misapplied until a moment in a playoff game. That's a problem. That's where the problem is with all of this. And so I just want to make sure people understand that, like, the NBA came out acting like they're clarifying this, but like that clarification should have come on January 19th. not on April 23rd. That's where like the biggest problem with me is. Like, it's just insane. This happened twice. This happened not just to the Thunder. This didn't happen just one time this season. This happened to two other teams. Oh, peace. Got some balloons. Okay, and confetti. Oh, Jay's in the chat. What's up, Jay? Am I insane for thinking that Dort was the only one not impacted by the bigness of the moment and the hype of the crowd? Man, shout out to Lou Dort. I don't know. I mean, Lou Dort is ready for any moment. I firmly believe that. And I don't think you're insane at all, Jay. I think that you can even see Shea being impacted by the moment a little bit down the stretch. Lou was Lou. If you would have just like showed me isolated versions of Lou Dort, it's like, no, that's Lou Dort. Not afraid to take a shot. He's in Brandon Ingram's jersey all night. He was awesome. And this is why you want guys like that on your team. And I know that there's been, and he was incredible this year. I don't think there's anybody that would question him this year. But in the past, there's been a lot of people questioning, like, is his contract too big? Is he somebody that you really want in this team? Does he actually fit what they do? And then you get into these big games, and it's like, man, what would we have done without Lou Dort? He is that guy. I mean, he is the guy that is so incredibly helpful to this squad. So shout out to Lou Dort. And no, Jay, you're not crazy. And I can't wait for you to be on the podcast on Friday, Jay. Missed you. Missed you, dude. Okay. Let's try to answer a few more questions before we go. Let's see. From at Riley Storm Emoji, does the Thunder's poor finishing but still getting the win in the last game make you feel better about our chances tonight if we can finish at a league average rate? Or does the fact that the New Orleans Pelicans shot 6% from the corners and only lost by 2 scare you about tonight if they hit those shots? I am more encouraged by the way that things played out, for sure. And I expect the Thunder to be better than they were in game one. Adam Brandt 4, will you be handing out Down to Dunk stickers tonight? I came from Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. Wow. And I'm trying to get some DTD stuff. Yeah, dude, come find me. Top of 104. That goes for all you dunkers. Come find me. I've got a bunch of stickers. Would love to hand out stickers. Adam, yeah, come find me. At Coach Lusher, if the Pels do not use Valanciunas on Giddy tonight, do you think Mark reduces Josh's minutes? It doesn't seem like a great Giddy series against their wings. If Mark adjusts, would you rather see Joe or Jay Will for Josh in those minutes against JV? I think the best course of action is to use Isaiah Joe in those minutes. I would like to see Jay Will and Chet together, but I think the better course of action is to have Isaiah Joe out there. And I think you have to reduce Giddy's minutes. The reason he wasn't as effective is because he's gotten used to the cross-matching and has kind of solved it a little bit. Now, when you have like a big wing like Brandon Ingram on him, B.I. is not like the greatest defender, but he's good enough, and he can bother guys with his length. I mean, the dude is giant. I mean, he is like a body clone of Kevin Durant. And yeah, it's not a great matchup for Josh. And they may, so I think the Thunder have to force the action. Like, they have to force the cross-matching to happen by getting Chet involved a little bit more. So we'll see if that happens. At New York Lahoman, when the Oklahoma City Thunder get to the finals, are we eating a cereal bowl full of dry dog food or a can of juicy wet Alpo? Can we not just eat cereal out of dog bowls instead? Can we do that? Can we all bring dog bowls full of cereal to this deal? Can we do that? At James Timberlake, you're pretty good with finding random stats. So here's a test for you. What are the Thunder's record in games where the fans wins the half court shot contest? Even better, what's the total plus minus in those games? That's a good one. I will. I'll see if I can track that down. That's a good one. Yeah, shout out to the fan that made that half court shot. It was incredible. He didn't quite get the bit at first. where he was going to get 30 seconds to take as many shots as he could. He didn't quite, you could tell he didn't quite understand it because he took his first shot and kind of just ran forward, but didn't. I was like, oh no, this guy's going to regret that because he's not going to get enough shots in to get a make, but he got a make. That's big time. I don't know if they're going to continue to do that throughout the playoffs, but it's pretty awesome for fans to win that big. It's pretty cool. Let's see. At Ethan Nickel 4, do the Thunder have a better chance of beating the Clippers or the Mavericks in a series? I kind of like their chances against the Clippers a little bit more, to be honest. I think the Thunder's youthful exuberance and athleticism would really bother them. At Option PB, based off last night's game, which team from the Clippers and Mavs would you most like to face as a fan? Clippers. At Sportsperson 17, when it comes to big science, are you let's play Jay Wilmore, let's double bigs, or try to out physical him? Are you making Valanciunas defend in space and play him off the floor, guy? I'm play him in space, get him off the floor. That's me. Also, it would help me win my bet with Alex. If Zion returns to the series, would you like to see Jay Will in the lineup? Yeah, I think that's a good situation. Why is Hayward getting minutes? Those minutes, this is from at Sir Nerdery. The former question was from Corbin Bole. Sorry, I didn't say your names. At Sir Nerdy, why is Hayward getting minutes? Those minutes should go to Wiggins or Kenrich. I'd even rather see Jang get in those minutes over him. Wow. Sir Nerdery is not messing around here. I don't think we're going to see Oos in this series. He played, Mark even talked about it yesterday, that he or on Monday. He played because they wanted somebody bigger in there, and he does provide some size. I don't disagree with you. I would rather see those minutes go to Kenrich. Overall, Kenrich provides like the same size, more toughness. He's more aggressive offensively, which is kind of crazy to think about, but it's just true. Do you have any insight on why Giddey is not effective in game one after playing so well against the Pelicans in the past? I think it's the cross-matching stuff. I think it's a little bit in his head. That was at the real Ben Kyle. At Jed Warren 35, what do you think are some ways OKC can better control the pace of game two? The Pels really seem to be able to force OKC into the half court in game one. I think they can speed up the game. If they can speed up the game, it'll benefit OKC to do so. I think it's about, a lot of it is there's a lot of missed baskets, and that can, if they're not long rebounds, it can allow the defense to get set up a little bit. I think the Thunder want to run. I think they tried to run. They did have a not insignificant number of fast break points. So I think that obviously they want to run more, and they will try to, but it's, the playoffs just slowed, everything slows down. And so the Thunder are well equipped to handle the half court though. So at Jake O'Bannon 2, I'd predict getting B.I. going early being a big part of the Pelicans' offensive game plan tonight. What adjustments might they make to get him in more space? I think that they did it in game one where they really tried to get Lou off of him and they weren't able to. And so a lot of it's going to be, can Lou Dort keep up the energy? So, is Jang eligible to play from Hotspot Casino? Yes, he is. We need to win the turnovers. Yes, Grape Apes, right? Like, they got to not have the silly turnovers. Got to stop with the silly turnovers that happen down the stretch. So don't do that. All right. Really appreciate you guys tuning in. Lots of people here in the chat right now. Means a lot to me. I'm very excited about this playoff run. If you guys will please just like the video right now, leave a comment, not just in the chat, but in the comment section below. If you'll just leave a comment, that would be wonderful. Hope you guys enjoy the rest of your day. We will, again, two things before we go. Lively on Saturday, if you're in OKC, come join us Saturday afternoon. It's going to be a beautiful time. It's going to be really fun. And then Alex and I will go live tonight at the arena after the game. So just be ready for that to happen. It's going to be after post-game interviews and then after I record Thunder After Dark. So it's not going to be directly after the game. But I'll have a YouTube link ready to go. Would love the dunkers to just fill the chat. Let's have a good time, and we'll talk to you guys again tonight.